Well, next hour, we're going to talk about your inner GPS. It's an amazing story, but this hour, we'll take your phone calls as we continue chatting with Dr. Michael Sella about the Bilderberg Group, the Secret Space Program, and so much more with Secret Societies next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast with Dr. Michael Sella. Michael, of the two presumptive candidates, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, obviously, Hillary's campaign seems to be very interested in the field of UFOs and extraterrestrials, with her aide John Podesta, of course, saying that that was one of his big regrets, is not getting to the bottom of the UFO mystery. If she is elected, do you think that she will truly try to get the answers to this? Or, as we've always been told, presidents get shunned, they do not get told what's going on, and very few of them had any information. What do you think?
Well, I don't think Hillary or Trump, neither one of them would, as president, really have the authority to disclose this information. I think ultimately American presidents really don't have the access to this level of information to be able to make decisions over, you know, what's to be released and what's not to be released. What's interesting in Hillary's case is that she has, since the 1990s, during the Clinton administration, been involved in UFO initiatives involving people like Lawrence Rockefeller, who tried to get the Clinton administration to disclose UFO information, and Hillary was involved in that. Of course, John Podesta became the chief of staff, and he also became very strongly supportive of releasing files. As Secretary of State, though, Hillary Clinton was really in a position to get access to some of these files. And early, just a month ago, the Inspector General of the State Department released a statement basically saying that Hillary did have access to certain classified files that were not handled properly. But what was very interesting was that an earlier letter from the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community confirmed that Hillary actually had access to special access programs, top secret files that were part of these SAT programs, and that she signed a non-disclosure agreement. And that's available on the internet, and I actually have an article on my website on Hillary and this issue of disclosing information on UFOs and their relationship to SAPs. But one of the SCI, that sensitive compartmented information categories that Hillary had access to while Secretary of State, involved Talent Kehoe, which involves space surveillance. So you really have to kind of like ask yourself, well, why would the Secretary of State need access to secret special access programs involving space surveillance? Is it just to kind of like see what was happening in the caves of Afghanistan, or was she really pursuing her interest in UFOs? So she may have actually learned something in her position as Secretary of State about these special access programs, but I don't think she's in a position.
She's not on the inside.
Well, that's right, yes. The only person who I think, a world political leader, who does have access to this level of information and is in a position to disclose is actually President Putin of Russia.
Yeah, you might be right there.
Yeah, and what's very interesting is in the first hour I discussed this briefing that Corey Good gave me today about this battle in Antarctica involving different space programs. He also described these very large spheres that were monitoring what was going on down there. And those spheres, according to some of the inside sources, actually are Russian, that the Russian Federation has these giant spheres. According to Dr. Peter Beta, who was active during the 1970s, he released a lot of audio files.
That's his name, Peter Beta?
Yeah, he was the head of the Import-Export Bank back in the 70s. He was appointed by President Kennedy. And he described these cosmospheres that that the Soviets had developed and put up there in space, and they were, you know, causing all sorts of problems for the National Reconnaissance Organization's officers, satellites, and the U.S. Air Force Space Command. They were, the cosmospheres were causing all sorts of problems, but these cosmospheres were developed secretly by Russia, very powerful, operate in near-Earth orbit, and have the ability to survey everything that's happening around the planet. And it seems that Putin, through these cosmospheres, may actually know what is happening down in Antarctica. So that's just one of the other areas that he could disclose if he wanted to.
All right, let's go to the phones. They're lining up for you, Michael. We'll pick it up by going first and foremost to Bonnie in Pahrump, Nevada. Hey, Bonnie, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure
I appreciate
thing.
It.
You too.
There's a couple things I wanted to, well, one comment I wanted to make about the statement that you made about your friend who went into the Bilderberg meeting, and you said that he had experienced some things that were strange. And I just wanted to say that what he experienced was, it sounds like, you know, because I've experienced many times in abductions, is the drug ketamine, which blocks the facial recognition. So most likely they drugged him when he walked in, and you can still walk and you can still see and you can still talk, but you cannot see the person's face. It actually blurs out the person's face, and afterwards it gives you a terrible headache. And most likely they continue drugging him afterwards, and you know, the headaches are excruciating, and generally there are very bad nosebleeds as well. So that's a drug that's always used on abductees. But the second thing I wanted to ask you was about the people that escaped down into, or were trying to leave in the Antarctica. There was, Gordon Asher Davidson was on some time ago saying that the elites left back in 2002. And so now, you know, we're hearing, well, they're leaving now. I'm just curious, are they leaving really, though, because we are completely bankrupt and they're just trying to take off with the money with whatever's left, and that's maybe why they really stopped.
All right, Michael, your thoughts.
Well, I think they are definitely down there in Antarctica, South America, with some agenda. I think President Obama's visit down there in March of this year is really some very strong circumstantial evidence that elites are down there making all sorts of plans. And Bariloche, as I mentioned, is really the unofficial capital of the Fourth Reich, with its own secret space program. So I think it's no accident that both President Eisenhower went down there in 1960, and more recently Obama went down there to negotiate with the elites, who basically, I think, are very concerned about some kind of upcoming planetary upheaval. It may be due to a kill shot, as Major Dames has been describing, or it may just be because a lot of this information is going to be disclosed. And when people realize that, that the Nazis actually were allowed to survive the Second World War with the cooperation of the U.S. military industrial complex that actually worked with them for many years, that organizations like the CIA were very important in setting up, facilitating top Nazis escaping, and also setting up groups like the Bilderberg group that would actually facilitate this kind of Fourth Reich exerting its influence all over the planet. I think people will be up in arms, and at least probably do want to be hiding in caves in South America and Antarctica to escape their wrath.
All right, Michael, thanks for that. Scott is with us. And Scotty, let's bring you onto the program. You're in Oskaloosa. Welcome to the program, east of the Rockies. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, thanks, George. First, you're a wonderful guy, and we all know that, and I love the Coast to Coast family.
Thank you.
Even though you do keep me up late. But, you know, it's fun. It's a lot of fun, and I just want to make it quick because I know there's other callers. Your guest, I mean, you have some really good guests on there. But this guy, he's wonderful, George. He just explains as he goes that even an old country boy like me can understand, you know.
He's very methodical, and, Scotty. He's very methodical.
Yeah, he's really good. So the two questions I have him, and I'll take them off the air
okay.
so somebody else can get on, is one, can, you know, like how, can an EMP be made on Earth, kind of like Tesla? Because I'm wondering if it can be made into a weapon without the sun doing anything. And the other question would be, I've heard of the, you know, Einstein, and he had these waves going through the Earth, and now they finally proved what it is. Maybe he can explain what that is, George. And God bless, and I'll just get off the phone, and the best to you.
Okay, Scott, thanks. So Michael, why don't you take the second first, and then we'll talk about the either the X-flare or the EMP, which the EMP can be made here on this planet. Go ahead.
Well, with Einstein, and I think one of the contributions that Einstein made was in his general relativity theory, in terms of how the generation of enormous gravity waves can distort time, and that this is something that is utilized by these secret space programs that can create enormous gravity waves through manipulating the electromagnetic spectrum by being able to create, for example, enormous electrostatic charges that then kind of influence gravity, and that influences space-time. Hopefully that answers the reader's question.
In terms of the X-flares and the solar flares, EMPs are nukes set high atop the atmosphere. We create those. Mankind will do that. We can't create an X-flare from the sun, but we can do the EMP, which will have the same effect, Michael.
Well, I think this is one of the big threats that we face collectively as a civilization is, you know, what happens when you have rogue organizations with access to these incredibly destructive technologies that can cause all sorts of havoc all over the planet, like EMP attacks over large industrial areas. And I think there are very serious concerns that some false flag operation can be set up to do something like that. But I, you know, just going back to that battle in Antarctica, maybe one of the reasons one group prevented the other group from leaving the Earth was because they didn't want this kind of scenario of a false flag event occurring that would devastate the surface, and you know, elites that are not allowed to leave the planet, well, you know, they'd be very foolish to give permission for one of these kinds of destructive events to go forward.
We have Joe in the Bronx. Welcome to the program, Joseph. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How are you?
Good, Joe.
Interesting guest. I'd like to ask your guest now, as far as the Bilderberger group goes, is there any member of the Bilderberger that is the guardian of its secrets? Like, is there a book of secrets that exists among them? Also, does the Bilderberger, or has the Bilderberger ever gone by another name? And also, are there any extraterrestrials who sit on the board of the Bilderberger?
Well, as far as who holds the Book of Secrets of the Bilderberg Group, that would have to be Henry Kissinger. Kissinger has been very familiar with the whole kind of ET topic and the secret space program topic from the Second World War. He actually served with the U.S. Army Intelligence, and he actually was part of the interrogation teams that the Army had in post-war Germany, finding Project Paperclip scientists. So Kissinger was involved from the very beginning. Very interestingly, according to one of the meetings that Corey Good said that he had with one of the extraterrestrial leaders, what he described as a royal white Draco, that when Corey Good's companion, Lieutenant Colonel Gonzalez, went to a meeting to see this draconian leader, who was 14 foot tall, very imposing, very menacing, that he was first met by Henry Kissinger, and that Kissinger was the one that basically facilitated or kind of led him into having this meeting. So there you have, just another kind of piece of evidence that Henry Kissinger actually is very heavily involved in the whole secret space program field, very knowledgeable about extraterrestrial life. And of course, Kissinger has been a regular attendee at the Bilderberg meetings, setting the agenda for Bilderberg.
Michael, you know, with so many possibilities out there, so many, what nation besides, as you said, Putin may come forward and let the world know what's going on. Who might come forward? Brazil? They've been pretty active in this.
Well, it's very interesting that countries like Brazil, South Africa, China, Russia as well, have all been experiencing very severe economic circumstances at the moment, almost as though there has been a kind of pushback against them because the BRICS nations not only are attempting to set up an alternative financial system in the world and set up a new economic regime, but they have also been involved in basically trying to have information concerning these secret space programs kind of released and shared more equitably so that all humanity benefits. So these other countries have experienced very severe circumstances, and of course Brazil is going through utter chaos at the moment with the president formally under investigation, yeah, for under impeachment proceedings, and has been suspended from a post. So, you know, Brazil is in chaos. South Africa is experiencing some severe problems as well, and China's going through an economic downturn. So it does seem as though the BRICS nations are being systematically singled out and kind of undermined by the global elite.
Couple moments to go here for the break, and then we'll come back with more of your phone calls with Michael Sala. Let's go to Spencer in Atlanta, Georgia. Spencer, go ahead.
George Norrie.
Hi, Spencer.
Coast to coast.
Thank you, sir.
I have a question for the doctor. As a kid, I built model airplanes, the P-51 Mustang, the B-29, the Enola Gay. But I always noticed that the German planes, they seem somewhat more sophisticated than ours. And later on in life, I learned that the Germans were developing stuff we call cruise missiles. The V-2 bomber, the V-2 rocket was like a precursor to the intercontinental ballistic missile.
Mm-hmm. They're way ahead of us.
I want to ask the doctor directly, was the Germans in contact with the aliens?
Good question. A minute to go, Michael, before the break.
Yes, that is one of the things that the Germans were doing, was to actually get information from various extraterrestrial groups that they had established contact with, either through psychic mediums or through physical negotiations with some of the groups, where they were given either blueprints for some of these advanced technologies or actually given finished products directly by extraterrestrials that the Germans then developed.
Michael, your next projects, what are they?
Well, I'm working on doing some research into the history of these secret space programs in terms of corporations, how corporations were involved in developing very big naval space battle groups, working with Bill Tompkins in substantiating his involvement in these special projects through the U.S. Navy, and continuing to work with Corey Good on what's happening at the very moment.
Bring us more information. And Michael, we're going to come back and bring you final phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it sure is. The next hour, we're going to talk about GPS devices within your soul, an amazing story. In a moment, we'll come back with Dr. Michael Sala and take final phone calls as we talk about secret societies, UFOs, and the Bilderbergs next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Michael Sala with us. And Michael, of course, the Bilderbergs met in Dresden, Germany. Did that have any particular significance?
Well, I think so. I think Dresden, as many people are aware, was a city that was really obliterated towards the closing stages of the Second World War, there was no real military objective to Dresden being firebombed. I can't remember the exact figure, but I think it was over 80,000 people lost their lives just in one day from the firebombing, and Dresden was reduced to ashes. It was just utterly destroyed. And the fact that the meeting was held in this year at Dresden, a city that had now been rebuilt, I thought it was very symbolic. The symbolism that is used by the global elite is very important, and Dresden represents in a way this kind of phoenix-like return of a city to prosperity. But I think more significantly, I think the choice of Dresden represented, to my mind, another step in an important agenda of making explicit the existence of the Fourth Reich, that the Fourth Reich has been operating behind the scenes, gradually increasing its power. And I think that the global elite probably have an agenda to make the existence of the Fourth Reich known as something that really does have powerful influence over people's lives today.
Some of the estimates of the deaths at Dresden in that one horrible night of bombings, 35,000 to 100,000, and speculation says up to 500,000, which is probably a little high, but they say 35,000 to 100,000 people died in a city that was simply destroyed. And it's amazing, you know, it's almost like an ant farm, Michael, how they rebuild so fast, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's amazing. Total war is not something any of us ever want to experience in any way, but places that have experienced it do rebuild, because I guess people just need to kind of rebuild their shattered dreams and come together for some kind of common hope for a future where total war isn't going to exist and hopefully we're not going to have a total war emerging anytime soon.
All right, back to the calls we go. We go to Mike in West Palm Beach, Florida. Hey, Mike, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Yeah. My topic is Donald Duck, quack, quack, is a lizard. Yeah, you're laughing.
Okay. I'm laughing.
Okay. I knew for the last few months something's wrong with this guy. His facial features have been changing over the last few months. I did research, YouTube.
You're serious, too, aren't you? Let's make sure people know. You mean this.
Listen to me. On YouTube, there's a series of photographs of the man over the last few months. His facial features have changed. There's no doubt about it. The question is why? What is happening? Well, the speculation is that he's really a reptile or a lizard, and they have that shape-changing thing.
Shape-shifting, yeah.
That the lizards, they're able to carry on because they're disguised as human beings. However, the problem is that it's breaking down on the face. They can't maintain the facial features. And that's the story now. And by the way, this was national news. I'm surprised your program hasn't covered this, because there was a sign in Texas on a highway about it. Many of the news media covered it, saying that he is a reptile with the shift-changing thing with the face and everything. And this is why I want to question your guest about this.
All right.
It's not just him. This story is a lot of our politicians are these lizards that are disguised as human beings.
Well, David Icke, Mike, has talked on this program for years about how the Bush family are reptilians, the Queen Elizabeth family, reptilians. He hasn't been on yet since the Donald has been the presumptive nominee. But, Michael, you're an expert on reptilians. What do you think? Is Trump a reptilian?
Well, I don't think Trump is a reptilian for the simple reason that the elite hate him. And they hate him because he is someone that is not part of their agenda, not part of their program.
He does have a changing face.
Oh, that I don't know. I haven't seen that. I mean, he does have a very strange face. I mean, I guess he just gets under that sun lamp for a long, long time.
And he's turning orange, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it is quite strange. I mean, if he is a reptilian, then maybe he's not of the dominant reptilian faction that really has been part of these secret space programs and the running of the Bilderberg Group.
Well, do you believe there are reptilians on this planet?
Oh, definitely.
You do? Okay. So this is not a joke. They're out there somewhere.
Well, yeah. I mean, quite clearly, I think that, you know, going back to what I was saying with William Tompkins and what the Navy learned in the 1940s about the reptilian species making agreements with the Germans and giving them flying saucer technologies, that yes, reptilians are here, that they have been interacting with us and have had a fundamental impact on global politics.
All right, let's go to Wayne in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Wayne, good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for taking my call, George, and thank you so much for your guests and everything you do for the world with your show.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I would like to ask you, the reptilians helped the Nazis out, so Hitler must have been...
I think we lost you, Wayne. You still there? We'll try to get back, Wayne. We'll try to get you on as soon as you can. We just lost you just like that. Michael, you're still with us, all right?
Yeah, I am. And I think the caller was going to basically ask whether Hitler was a reptilian or something along those lines. I think Hitler was a puppet. I don't think he was the one that really ran the show. But the fact that Germany lost the war, the military aspect of the war in Europe, that was because Hitler was not given the most advanced technologies that were then developed in Antarctica. And it was because the people in charge of the secret space programs in Antarctica were working with the reptilians, and the reptilians were not so much interested in Germany winning the war as much as they were interested in infiltrating the U.S. military-industrial complex and co-opting that for achieving their long-term goals. And I think that the reptilians understand that achieving power through covert means is a much better way of being able to coerce and dominate a population.
Anthony is in Stockton, California, now west of the Rockies. Welcome, Anthony. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to talk to you about the New World Order.
Okay.
And it relates to the Bilderberg Group and also this Orlando shooter, Michael, what was his name, Mateen?
Omar Mateen.
Now, what I've heard through all other alternative media, I will link these all together when I go on. I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I'll link them together.
Okay.
What I've heard through alternative media about Mateen is that devout Muslims, if he was truly a devout Muslim, he would not go to gay nightclubs. And what I've heard also is that there were second shooters, other shooters, there were witnesses that saw other shooters there.
Okay, I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that come. The other question about him going to the gay nightclub, though, the possibility, you're right about the Muslim faith in terms of that, but let's assume for a moment he was going there, Anthony, for research, and, you know, he wanted to scope the place out. Possible?
Well, if he was a devout Muslim, as they say he was. I also heard in alternative media, by the way, he was bipolar.
Yes, even his wife said that.
He was bipolar, and so, in other words, he had psychiatric problems. And I was so surprised that he even had guns.
Well, he was an armed security guy.
He was a security
for working for a company sanctioned by Homeland Security.
Yeah, well, I don't know why how he got through when in fact he should have found
unbelievable
out he was bipolar and he had
yep.
psychological problems. He never should have been hired in the first place.
I'm all for guns. I'm all for the Second Amendment. I have a concealed weapons permit. Anybody who ends up going to have to sadly see a psychiatrist and has that kind of medical history should not be allowed to buy a gun. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because, you know, all these other shooters, that one that went crazy shooting these people in a movie theater, the Batman,
yep.
You know, that I forgot his name. But,
Dylan.
He had psychological problems himself. He was taking psychotropics. And so what they should be doing is going after people or banning people that have psychological problems or even taking medications and people that are on lists that are a threat to national security.
Well, let me tell you, Dr. Peter Breggin, our resident psychiatrist who's written a book called Medication Madness, thinks we're over-prescribing mood-altering drugs to people with psychiatric illnesses and thinks that we should get people off drugs. He doesn't want to even prescribe them anymore. Michael, do you want to jump in on this at all?
I really don't know too much about that particular case.
Okay.
Mass shooting.
No problem. Okay, thanks, Anthony. Appreciate you being part of the program. Wayne in Chicago is back. We got you, Wayne. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. It must have been on my end.
That's okay.
So let me make this quick because you never know if I'm going to get cut off again. No, I wasn't saying that Hitler was an alien. What I was asking was the aliens liked him because, you know, they liked him because he liked mass murder. But Stalin killed way more people than Hitler, and so did Mao Zedong.
Right.
So those two guys are the reptilians kind of guys. You're my kind of guy. You like killing people. So did they help the Russians with their space program, or did they try to help the Chinese with their space program? Does he have any evidence of that happening?
All right. Good question. Michael?
Thank you.
As far as I know, the reptilian species helped the German Nazis in establishing their space program. There were another group of extraterrestrials, popularly known as Nordics, kind of Scandinavian-type extraterrestrials, that were also involved early on in the piece in helping the Germans in developing a space program. But they were kind of like pushed aside by the reptilians who basically offered better deals to Hitler and the Nazis. The Nordics then, I believe, went to countries like Russia and possibly China as well to help them develop their program secretly so that they could then establish some kind of parity, knowing full well that the reptilians working with the Nazis who were able to successfully infiltrate the U.S. military complex through the Project Paperclip scientists were eventually going to not only constitute a threat in terms of planetary control, but also a galactic threat in terms of developing secret space battle fleets that would work with reptilians in off-world planetary conquest. So quite a big agenda there.
Michael, what do these elitists do when they hear programs like ours tonight? Do they go nuts? I mean, do they say, yank that guy off the air, get him? What do they do?
Well, I think what they do is they monitor the reaction to this kind of information. They're very happy when people ignore this kind of information because they feel that their programs of dumbing down society have worked very well. They get very concerned, however, if a mass movement starts to emerge with this kind of information. And I think we are seeing that slowly happening, that there is greater awareness that these topics of Nazis working with reptilians to develop secret space programs and infiltrating the U.S. military-industrial complex. At first, that sounds ridiculous, but then when you look at the testimony and the evidence behind people like William Tompkins, Clark McClelland, and others like Corey Good, it doesn't become something so easily dismissed. So I think we are on the verge of a kind of mass awakening where all of a sudden people realize that this material is very, very real.
Sure is. Thomas in La Jolla, California, Wildcard Line. Thomas, go ahead.
George, thank you for taking my call.
Thank
and
you.
Professor Sala, you're doing marvelous work, and I really appreciate that. My question is about Operation High Jump in 1947. 10 years after Operation High Jump, the American military exploded three very large, high-yield hydrogen bombs over Antarctica. And the bomb yields were so large that it created an electromagnetic pulse over the southern hemisphere of the planet, and it also blew a hole in the ozone over Antarctica that is still there today. And I've often wondered if Operation High Jump was round one. Perhaps round two was the flyover over Washington, D.C. And perhaps round three was the American military striking back with these three very large hydrogen bombs over Antarctica. And the military, they, as a cover, they stated that they were exploding these bombs as part of the International Geophysical Year initiative. But that doesn't make sense. And I'm wondering if this was an ongoing hot war between the Nazi International and the American military.
That's a really good question, Thomas, and you're quite right that Operation High Jump was one example of a hot war between, in this case, the U.S. Navy and the Nazi bases that had gone down there. In the 50s, the Nazis had reached agreements through their Project Paperclip scientists. They were able to infiltrate the U.S. military industrial complex and reached agreements with the Eisenhower administration. And then, of course, in 1958, you have this incident with the testing or with the use of the hydrogen bombs. Now, exactly what the goal was, who the targets were, it seems that it may have been that there was one faction, at least, of the U.S. military that was against these kinds of agreements that Eisenhower had reached, or maybe it was a charade. Maybe it was to convince, and I think this is an explanation that makes more sense to me, maybe it was to convince the Russians and the Chinese and others that, in fact, the U.S. had not made agreements with the Nazis, that there were no Nazi bases in Antarctica because, these bombs ostensibly were targeted towards areas where the Nazis had been previously in Queen Maud Land. So I think it may have been a charade, but I really honestly don't know the answer to that question, Thomas, and I am interested in pursuing that to find out what really happened with that 1958 testing or deployment of those hydrogen bombs down there.
Michael, would you give out your website for everyone, please?
Sure. People can go to exopolitics.org, and there they'll find all these articles. And tonight I will actually put up the article where I'm discussing this informal briefing Corey Good gave me today about what is happening in Antarctica with these battles between different space programs.
You're great. Michael, thanks for being on the program. Great information.
Thanks for having me, George. Have a aloha.
All right. Up next, we're going to talk about the soul. Does it really have a GPS device within it? Think about that. And we'll be right back.